Good morning, everybody. How is everyone this morning? Good. If you guys want to stand up and just meet us up here, who's excited that Jesus is in the house today? I'm excited to praise him. We just thank you, Jesus, for this day. We thank you that it's a happy day, Lord God. We love you and we praise you. Are you guys ready to praise?
History, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive.
Do you believe it this morning?
The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive.
You
Jesus, we bring recognition to your name this morning, God. We know that by the name of Jesus, we're healed. We know that by the name of Jesus, we're set free. We're delivered, that we have all power and all authority that you have given us to be successful, to be conquerors, to be more than conquerors on this earth. Jesus, we love your name.
Jesus was so dedicated to us. He was so dedicated to freeing us from sin that he even died on a cross for us. And I've never even thought about dying for anybody. A lot of us in this room haven't. But this song is about our devotion to God. The fact that we'll raise our hands even though they get tired, that we'll scream until our voices run out, that we'll jump until our calves get cramps in them, because that is nothing compared to how devoted Jesus was to us on the cross. And daily we have to give our lives to him. That's our devotion. We're a living sacrifice. The Bible calls it our reasonable service. So we're gonna sing that again. And we're gonna devote our entire lives to Jesus right now. If you've never done that, you can do it right now. So everybody just get your hands up. Go ahead. Let him hear you shout. Let him hear you sing. Let him see your arms up. Come on, we're going to devote our lives to Jesus this morning. And I'll dance with you.
And I'll dance with you till my knees grow.
To Jesus.
And I'll dance with you till my knees grow weak, and I'll sing till I can't sing anymore, and I'll lift my hands till they fall asleep, just to show you, Lord, you're the one I adore. Treasure, Lord, you are my friend.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You are good to us, O God. We honor you, God. Hallelujah. 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 As an individual, from the bottom of your left cheek, the pain goes up around your cheekbone, over your nose, down over to the other side. If you put your hand right now on your face, you're going to feel the relief of God. God's going to touch you right where you're at. In the name of Jesus, I command right now by the power of God, Lord, the healing ointment of God be released from heaven right now in Jesus' name. If someone watching by live stream right now, your name starts with a J. You're a female. You've been hurt by many churches. And the Lord wants you to know that you've opened yourself up for hurt. And because of those wounds, you've retracted yourself. And that's why you're even watching right now by live stream. But the Lord wants you to know it's your turn to be healed and that you need to allow God to be your all in all. That gets down to the very purpose of your wound, is that you've made other people a place in your life that they should not have the right to be in. God is restoring you. Even today, you'll feel the peace of God come upon your heart. The wounds that are deep inside that no doctor's scalpel can cut, God's going to start healing them even today in the name of Jesus. I bring peace right now to you, even as you watch my live stream in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you that today you care about every need that we have. Today, if you're sick, put your hand on where you're sick right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that your healing power is in the room. Lord, I remind you of your word, according to your word, that where you were, the presence of God was there to heal. You are in this house. Lord, we also thank you that according to our covenant rights, that by your stripes we were healed. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak first to the spirit of infirmity. You lying spirit, you sickly spirit, I command you to come off the children of God even now in Jesus' name. I said right now, go. Right now in Jesus' name. God, those that are sick because of all other reasons, we just release the healing balm of Gilead right now, Lord, into the portion of their body that is sick or wounded. We command all sickness and disease to come out right now, according to the word of God, Psalms 103. I command it right now to loose them and let them go. Lord, we thank you that you are the restoring God, a good God, and a great God. And Father, we love you for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives. So Jesus, right now, we thank you that we have been made whole by the power of Jesus' name. And everybody receiving it said, now listen. I'm looking down and I don't see any names. You see, having names at the altar is a step of faith. I see some names over here. You want to make sure you start bringing the names up during while you're going back. You're welcome, folk, but write down those names and bring them right up to the altar. We're going to pray over them this morning. Amen. We're going to believe that God, by his Holy Spirit, is going to move in a supernatural dimension to set the captives free. That's what Jesus does. Amen. I love you. On your way back to your chair, make sure you shake a few hands, folks that you don't know. Be kind, be nice, be generous. Make sure you bring the names up front. Come on, put them on the altar. The names, I want to remind you, these are the names of the people you're believing God for salvation for. If you didn't bring your slip, just make one. Make it out. Put it up near the front. So many of you have sat down. Come on, everybody stand up. Go meet somebody you don't know.
Thank you. pray over them in the name of Jesus. Church, a sweet church. Get those names up front. Get your names up front. Hallelujah.
Easter weekend, April 15th and 16th. Don't miss out on our helicopter Easter egg
during the announcement.
Sunday services, bounce houses, and fun for the whole family. Don't miss Easter weekend with His Tabernacle Family Church.
Praise the Lord. Everybody see the names up here? Every card represents at least five people. Now, if you did not get yours last week, I'm not sure how many we have left. But what we're believing God for is that you're going to write down five people's names that you're believing impossible. The people that you would just say would never give their heart to Jesus. And we're believing God from now until Easter that God is going to do a supernatural move in their life. Amen. That what is impossible for man is possible with God. How many of you are in the room that you had never thought you'd ever give your heart to Jesus Christ? Amen. You definitely, young man. The young man that's holding the camera right there. Amen. Give Chris a hand clap. You don't mind me sharing a little bit. He was a Wiccan high priest. Used to do weddings for Wicca. Used to serve the devil. But Jesus. Now he's serving Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love when God can take it, man. You're a testimony, too. He's now working as chaplain within the motorcycle ministry of His Tabernacle Family Church. You're going to Bible school soon, aren't you? Heading out to Bible school soon. So God is so good. See, God can take who no one would ever have thought would ever be saved and change their life. Amen? I said amen. How many of you God? Oh, my goodness. Rich Blaha, no one ever thought you would have ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen? Especially your wife. But he loves Jesus. Amen? Who else is in the room that no one ever thought you would? Oh, that's right. You don't mind me sharing, do you? He was a heroin addict, set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Today, sitting in the second row. Serving in ministry, married. One child and baby on the way. Amen. It's amazing. Who else? Who else in this place? Oh, my goodness. Steve Grant. No one ever thought Steve Grant would ever be saved. But today he's sitting in the house of God, loving Jesus, raising his babies. Amen. It's just so cool. Now, see, so all these names, you might be thinking, well, you know, that's a long shot for God. No, it's not. What's hard for man is easy for God. And we're going to pray together, amen? If you didn't get your names up here, man, I don't know what's going on. You need to get your names up here before the end of service. And next service, we're doing the same thing. So let's pray right now. Bow our heads. Reach your hands out right now. Father, what is impossible for us is possible with you. You love every single person that's on these lists. God, who no one would ever have thought would confess you as Lord. But Jesus, you love them. And right now in Christ's name, we bind the devil who's blind in the mind of the unbeliever. We command those spirits to come off them right now in Jesus' name, that they may see that you are the light, that they may see that you are the truth, that they may see that you are good to them and you have a plan for them and you love them. We'll wash their sins away and give them eternity. God, we thank you that today, Lord, many people have given up. But Lord Jesus, you have never given up. You are the hound of heaven. God, go after each one in Jesus' name and save them from their sin. We stand in the gap for them right now and declare that by your stripes, they're not only healed, but by the cross, they are saved in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement shouted, amen. Pastor Obi.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing? That is a weak, weak shout back. How y'all doing this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Let's just welcome our first-time guests. If this is your first time here, can we just see your hand for a second? Yeah, one over there. Come on, give them a hand clap. Any more guests? Any more first-time guests? We have one over there. One over there. Awesome, awesome. So thank you so much for coming to worship with us. After our service on this side of the building, we have a guest reception for you. We'll have to just meet you, just get to know you a little bit better, all right? Is that okay with you guys? Amen. Awesome. Live stream, we want to love you guys. We want to welcome you. Thank you so much for logging in wherever you are. If you are in the chat, just say where you're from, how many people are watching with you so we can celebrate with you. Who's excited for Easter? Yeah. Who's excited for the Easter helicopter egg drop? Yeah, that's going to be on Saturday, April 15th. You want to make sure that you are out here. It's for all ages. And for our services, a Good Friday service, 7 p.m. on the 14th, and on the 16th, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We want you guys to come out. We are believing that every single name on this altar shall be saved that weekend, in Jesus' name. Who here is excited about the youth of our region? Yeah, we have upcoming our Uproar Youth Conference. It is going to be phenomenal. You still have a chance to partner up with them. So if you want, meet the team out in the foyer and sponsor somebody for $20 or even more a month. You're going to be touching and reaching the lives of the young people. Who here loves Next Steps? Okay, that was really, really weak. Next Steps is awesome. Okay, every Tuesday we have Rock Solid Faith. We have it on Tuesday nights. Wednesday at 9 a.m. with Pastor Dan. Thursday at 6 p.m. with Pastor Palco. Tuesdays with Pastor Spencer. It is absolutely phenomenal. And we also have a phenomenal class called No More Hurt, being taught by Pastor Rhonda. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. So you do not want to miss that. Get involved, get plugged in, and let's head to the next level. So let's bring up Pastor Rhonda.
We are going to... Hello? No? I do have a big enough mouth. I don't really need it.
That is true. That is true.
Okay. No, it is true. I really don't need a microphone. But we're going to enter into this time of tithes and offerings. And what I love so much about being a son and a daughter of God is kingdom principles. We enter into kingdom principles. So today, you're not just putting money in a plate. You are putting your money into the kingdom of God, and that's supernatural. I want my money to be supernaturally blessed. And when we obey God with our tithes and offerings, we are supernaturally blessed. Our money goes from being natural paper to being supernatural when we put it in the kingdom of God. So are you ready this morning to put your money into the kingdom of God and change it around? And we're going to quote, stand to your feet, Deuteronomy 28, which is the promise of God. This is the word of God, and God cannot lie. This is his word that we invoke when we enter into kingdom principles. So let's repeat it with me. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord, to our live stream family. When you're making this your church, go ahead and give right online with us, or you can even text to give.
Oh, happy day, happy day.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning, I said. So today is a very special day. Today is Pastor Spencer's birthday. Now, normally in a proper service, Pastor Spencer would be right here so we could wish him a happy birthday, but he has taken a leave of absence. So what I need you to do is shout loud enough so you can hear you, so he can hear you way over there when you say happy birthday. Hopefully he heard you. So what we're going to do this morning is celebrate his birthday. There are some envelopes, I believe, on your seat. If there's not, just go ahead and raise your hand up and the ushers will get one to you. We're going to bless him with a gift this morning. Take a special offering, and we're going to celebrate with cupcakes after service. That's the most exciting part. So if you'll just fill out your envelope, when you're filling out your envelope, if you're doing a check, please make it to Pastor Michael Spencer or Pastor Spencer, not to his tabernacle. That is at his request. And we are just so excited to celebrate your birthday, Pastor. All right, so this time if you want to come forward and just bring your gifts to the front, there's a basket right here.
Oh, happy day.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the mission. The mission's clear. Yep, okay. Are we ready? Here we go. When it goes off, it's gonna make a footprint that you know will ever be. I know, it's going quick. All right, I gotta get out of the way. The mission is clear. It's time for a supernatural explosion of celebration. You see, we're believing God for this mission, not to go afar, not to go a waste, but that you and I are going to be able to celebrate the goodness of our God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Turn to someone and say, my mission is clear. I can't hear you. I said, my mission is clear. You see, when you understand your mission, you understand why you're alive. Turn to someone and say, I know why I'm alive. You see, when you know you're alive, it changes everything. And today, I want to make sure that you know why you're alive. The Bible talks a story about the lost coin. Oh, imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, if you can be sure, she'll call her friends and neighbors, celebrate with me. I have found my lost coin. Count on it. That's the kind of party God has. God's angels throw every time one soul turns to God. Today, I want you to know that the mission is clear. It's time to cause a time of celebration in heaven like they have not seen from His Tabernacle Family Church. I'm believing that we grab a hold of this mission. We're going to rock heaven with a celebration because souls are going to come back to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is the year of. I said, this is the year of. We are the generous church. It's time to have God throw a party because of the souls that are going to be saved because you're believing the Lord in your mission. You see, our verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, and it makes this declaration. Turn there with me real quick. Proverbs 11, verse 25. And the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Last week, we got into the message, and it dealt with Matthew chapter 19, 25, and 26. And the disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked Jesus, and Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. You see, even the people that you would never even fathom to be born again, just like some of the folks that were raising their hand in the room today, you're writing their name down. You're learning how to pray, and I'm believing the Lord with you. To touch one thing, the will of God shall be done. And the will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Today I want to take you on a little adventure through the eyes of Andrew. How many of you know Andrew, who is Peter's brother? You see, Andrew met Jesus before Peter did. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, starting with verse 35, read there with me. The following day, John had again standing with his two disciples as Jesus walked by. And John looked at him and declared, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want?" he asked. And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said, "Come and see," he said. I'll be about the fourth hour in the afternoon." And when they had went with him to the place where he was staying, they remained with him for the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said, and he followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus, looking intently at Simon. I love it when Jesus looked intently at our lives. Amen. Jesus looked intently at Simon and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter, the rock. And as you know, Jesus declared, "Upon this rock I will build my kingdom." You see, Peter would never have been saved without Andrew. Peter would not have been saved without Andrew. There are people on this planet who will never be saved without you. The devil's trying to bring you to a place of insignificance, and I'm here to destroy the lies of the devil by the truth that will make you free. And the truth is every one of you who have breath, if you're breathing, shout amen. Amen. Now I said shout amen. Amen. If you're breathing, God's got purpose for you. When you're done breathing, it's time to go to the North Country. Can I hear an amen? Then you receive your reward. But if you're breathing, if you are, shout amen. Amen. Then your time's not over. You're a person of destiny and purpose. You see, God has it, just like with Andrew. If Andrew did not reach out to his brother, Simon would never have been saved. If you and I don't reach out to the people that are on our lists, if you and I do not share the gospel with them, they might not ever be saved. They might not ever be changed. And what is powerful, you hear very little about Andrew, but you sure do hear a lot about Peter. You and I may not ever realize how powerful it will be to one we lead to Christ who will go beyond even where we have. You see, I don't know about you. I'm excited that one day that somebody in this house is going to go far beyond wherever I could have ever thought or imagined in the ministry. Why is that? Because every father wants their child to grow beyond where they are. You see, Andrew's perspective was powerful. He looked around. He looked up. He looked out. He looked forward. And he looked after. You see, the devil's come to blind the mind of the unbelievers. Every person that's on the list and that's on your list, all those five that you're praying for, binding the devil over in the name of Christ, that devil who's blinded that mind of the unbeliever, you're binding that spirit. But I want to remind you that they're blinded. Blinded people cannot see. But you are not blind. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says you're the light of the world. The Bible says that the light that we have cannot be hidden under a bushel. You and I have been called and truly are the light of God on this planet. The only way for people to know Jesus is if the light will shine. So the question comes down to is, will you shine? These people that are on your list, these people that you're believing God for, if you and I don't start to shine, if you and I don't take on the understanding that Andrew had, then Peter's will never be born again. Then people will be lost and dying. Every single human being on this planet is eternal. Turn to someone and say, "You're eternal." That's right. That means everyone in this room will either end up in heaven or end up in the lake of fire. Every single person. There is no soul sleep. There is no, "Well, I'm just like a dog. When I die, I die. They bury me in the ground." Every human being that was created in the very image of God will spend eternity either with Christ because they've accepted the blood of the Messiah, or separated from Christ, which the Bible calls the second death. And you see, the Lord has a plan. The Lord has a mission. And the mission is clear. What's the mission? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. God's plan is that you and I, the light, will shine his light in their darkness, that they may see that our Savior is good, our God is good, our God loves them, and God desires for them to know him. You see, Andrew looked around. When he met Jesus, and that's the greatest thing in the world. How many of your lives were changed when you met Jesus? Now you see, there are a lot of people who meet religion that are never changed. There are a lot of people who go to church that are the same. There are a lot of people that had even said a nice little prayerette, and it was hoping that it would show some little magic powder and something beautiful would happen. But until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot go to heaven. But when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, there must be a change. The Bible says we go from darkness to light. Salvation is not joining a church. Salvation is a supernatural experience where God comes into a life by the Holy Spirit, convicts them of their sin, and their godly sorrow turns them in repentance. So they call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. You see, Christ changes lives. Christ comes in and gives hope. Christ comes in and forgives sin. Christ comes in and heals bodies. Christ comes in and changes lives. Salvation changes a life so that others may see that our God is good and not bad. Can I hear an amen in the house? If Jesus has changed your life, can I hear an amen in the house? Now I understand if he hasn't changed your life, you got nothing to shout about. And that might mean you need to get to the altar at the end. Oh, there's an old song. It talked about, I've got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. And I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, he has changed your life. You are no longer the same. Can I hear a shout in the house this morning? Hallelujah! You see, God will change a life, and that's what we're praying for. We're not praying for church growth. We're not praying that more people will sit in the pew. We're praying that the pew will get out of the people. We're praying that they'll confess the Lord Jesus and be changed by the power of the Lamb. We're praying that they'll confess Christ and he'll come in and make them a new man and a new woman and give them purpose and hope and destiny. But the greatest thing that they get is that they can then walk and talk with Jesus every single day and have a relationship that Adam and Eve lost. Hallelujah. You see, Andrew met Jesus. He'd been hanging out with John the Baptist, but he met Jesus. You can hang out with me, but that ain't going to change you. What's going to change you is when you meet Jesus. Amen? When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, his whole life changed. He was a good religious man. But until he met Jesus, you see, when you meet Jesus, everything changes and it sparks a new life in you. You see, this is what happened to Andrew. Andrew met Jesus and it sparked an excitement in his life. You see, when you're saved, when you meet Christ, you got to tell somebody. Can I hear an amen? Amen. How many of you here have ever won, listen, I know it's a bad example, you ever won $20 on a scratch ticket? All the sinners raise their hands. Hallelujah. You know you went and told somebody you won $20 on that stupid scratch ticket. Man, I won $20 on the scratch ticket. Man, you're excited to tell somebody something good happened to you. Listen, you're getting married. I'm getting married. Don't tell anybody I'm getting married. No, man, when you meet the girl of your dreams, when you meet the man of your dreams, and the day that you're going to walk down the aisle, you're not going, shh, don't tell anybody. Man, there's an excitement within your bosom. You are excited in your bones. Why? Because you are sealing that relationship with that man or that woman. You're excited to tell them because your life is about to change. You see, when you meet Jesus, you're
have got to get excited about Jesus again. We've got to get excited about the blood that washes away our sins again. We got to get excited.
Not just excited, but excited enough. Wow, is that thing going crazy? Excited enough so that we can share the gospel with somebody. When you're not sharing the gospel, we've got a question. Did you meet him? When you're no longer excited about the blood, you've got to wonder, is it still washing? Because when he washes you, you just can't keep quiet. Can I hear an amen? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And because I love people, I know that they can't get to heaven any other way than the same way I did. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved, but by the name of, the name of, the name of Jesus. He looked around. David Kinneman, 18 to 29 year olds, they declare that less than half of a percent of 1% will be saved between 18 and 29 years old. We have been losing a generation because the saints of God have gone into hiding. We're trying to be okay with everybody, but there is no okay with everybody. We're not going to be the same. Turn to someone and say, you're peculiar. I think you're too nice. Turn to somebody else and say, no, really, you are peculiar. If you're not peculiar, then did Jesus change your life? If you're the same as everybody else, so many people want to just be so accepted by the people of the world. Listen, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. Andrew, when he met Jesus, Jesus changed his life enough that he went to go tell his brother. He looked around. So many of us, we have so many different elements of life, so many different spheres and cycles of influence in our lives. There are people that you know that I'll never meet unless you accept, unless you bring them to the house of the Lord. Other than that, I'll never meet them. They'll never meet Jesus unless you introduce Christ to them. You see, your life is imperative. Your life is important. Your life has been planned. And God said, it's time to light the wick in your life and start getting ready for a celebration. And the celebration is that God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's excited to let heaven have a party because you're going to lead people to Christ. Andrew then looked out. He looked out. He had a relationship with his brother. The majority of people do not get saved because of mass evangelism. The number one way to reach a soul for Jesus is called friendship evangelism. It's that you know them. They trust you. They're watching you. Now, here's the question. If they're watching you, are they seeing Jesus? Are you holding the drink with them? Are you smoking the weed with them? Are you dropping the F-bomb with them? Come on now. You cannot expect, listen, if you're going to look around, you're going to look out, you can look out all you want and write their names down all you want, but there is a way to live Christ. And I'm not talking anybody in this room is perfect. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You can look at the person next to you and say, I know you're not perfect. Angel, you are too excited to say that to your husband. She popped right there. Yeah, you ain't right. Poor Matthew just shaking his head. He didn't even get a chance to say nothing. See, we got to look around. You gotta look out. You got to see who God's placed in your life for you to have the message for them. You see, this friendship evangelism, sharing Jesus with your friends. Everybody in this room is so different. There was a woman, I was reading a story one day about a man who was saying, you got to go out on the streets and preach the gospel. Now, my son Chad is that freak. My son Chad is one who loves going out on the streets and preaching the gospel.
when he was at Rodney Howard Brown's Bible school, they actually would go into a restaurant and say, can I borrow the microphone? At a restaurant. You did that at a restaurant, right? Can I borrow the microphone? I want to pray over their meal. These people would give him the microphone. He'd pray over the meal. And then saying, if you'd like to receive Jesus, and he'd give them the salvation message as they're eating their steak. There's a holy boldness in that kid. But you know, there are people in this room, you'll never stand and go to Red Lobster and say, can I borrow your microphone? But you have friends who like tea. You have friends who like to knit. You have friends who like to golf. You have friends who like to do things that you like to do, and they've given you permission in their life. You've got to look out and say, who is it that Christ is sending me to? Who is it that Jesus wants me to share the gospel with? You see, it's not just that you get the message, because if you get the message, that's nice. But until Jesus gives you someone to give the message to, it doesn't matter. You have not been called to keep the message to yourself. As freely as you've received. As freely as you've received. And if there's no excitement to give what you've received, then do you actually believe that there is only one way to heaven? See, he looked around, then he looked up. You got to make that decision to pray for people. Some of you wrote these names down on your pieces of paper and you didn't pray once for them this week. You didn't bind the devil who's blinding their minds once this week. You see, we've got to learn that what changes lives is prayer. You've got to not just look who's around you, but then you have to look and start praying, because the prayer of God is what changes a life. You've all heard of Penn Jillette. He's a magician. He's an acclaimed atheist. And a man walked up when he was book signing and handed him a Bible, a New Testament Bible. And this is what the acclaimed atheist declared. He said, if you don't share your faith with those who don't believe, you truly hate them. If you truly believe that eternity is based on Jesus, then you've got to share or you hate them desperately. That was a message from an acclaimed atheist. I had a buddy of mine in Bible school who one day sent me a text. He said, I just gave Alice Cooper a Bible. He pulled into a rest area and Alice Cooper's bus was there. You just never know what God is going to do. Not too many years later, and I'm not saying it was just because of him, but Alice Cooper, many of you don't know, but that's not his real name. He's the son of a Baptist preacher who was in the middle of a seance, and he declared, as a demon appeared to him, that the demon's name was Alice Cooper, and said, I'll make you one of the richest, most powerful men in the world. And that demon possessed him. And Alice Cooper, not too many years later, gave his heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm here to tell you, God can take somebody that no one would else think of and change a life. But you got to pray. Turn to someone and say, you got to pray. Prayer removes excuses. Because God answers prayer. You and I can't save a fly. But when we pray, heaven moves. Can I hear an amen? When we pray the will of God, heaven starts to rock. You see, God sets the plan in motion. When you and I begin to pray, it's not just looking around. We've got to look up, and then we've got to look out. As I was saying, those relationships. So many people don't love people anymore. It's a sad thing, an event that's happened not just in the church, but literally in the world, and it probably happened in the world and was adopted by the church, because we know the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is that he loves people. But many of us don't love people anymore. Many believers have gone to loving things and loving themselves, and they don't love anybody else. But we've got to get back to the place of loving people again. We've got to look at them and have a heart like Christ has and see them. They're either saved or lost. They're eternal, whether they like it or not. They're never going to die. Every single human being on this planet is never going to die. They might take their last breath on this planet, but they're going to be transported into eternity. And if you know Jesus, been washed by the blood to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But if you don't know Christ, immediately your spirit is sent to hell, the holding tank, before it burps up and gurgles out at the white throne judgment. And then those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is everybody in hell, will then be cast into the lake of fire, which is called the second death. We're so afraid to offend people. But really what it is, if we actually believe that heaven is the only way through Jesus, then if you truly love them, you've got to share the gospel with them. If you truly love them, you've got to share the gospel with them. You know, having a grandchild is very interesting. It changes your life. Having a child is great. But when you get grandchildren, it's weird as a grandparent because you're actually more motivated to protect that child. You really are. It's the strangest thing. Now, they call me Captain Safety. That's my nickname at home. And abroad. Captain Safety. Listen, I want to have fun. I just don't want to die doing it. But I watch Sophia. And I see her. She's reckless. She's like her father. She's reckless. And she runs around and... Man, when she gets hurt, that little girl cry that comes out of her, Grampy just, or Bampy just wants to, I really, my name is Grampy, but she doesn't say Grampy, she says Bampy. I don't get it. No, it's not cute. I don't want to be called Bampy. My name is Grampy. And I just want to hold her, and if she's in the other room, I'll go to Rhonda. What's wrong with her? What'd you do to her? I do, I ask, what'd you do to her? You just want to protect. You see, when you love people, you want to protect them. When you love people, you don't want to see them die a horrific death. When you love people, you care enough. Even, listen, I've had people say, mind your business. Will you stop being Captain Safety? I'm fine. But I would rather have them say, stop, than why didn't you tell me? How many people do you actually know that you didn't share the gospel with and they died? And you know nobody else shared the gospel with them. Listen, I've done so many funerals in life, and I can't even tell you, I can't even count the amount that I have to say this. Listen, this is what I say at a funeral when I'm not sure if they went to heaven or hell. I'll say, right now, they are in eternity. And they want you to know Jesus. Because if they're in the lake, they're in hell, they want you to know Jesus. And if they're in heaven, they want you to know Jesus. But what a horrible thing that I have to question whether somebody has gone to heaven or hell. See, there are people in your life today that you're not sure. But you're so afraid of making them angry or being rejected by them that you're unwilling to share the message. What are you going to do? Banish them to hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? We've got to come to an awakening in our spirit that Jesus is coming soon. We're not talking that Christ is coming 50 years from now. Jesus is coming soon. There's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before Christ cracks the eastern sky. Everything has been fulfilled to line up for the Antichrist. Jesus can come literally, not figuratively, before this day is through, before this message is... And and all those that don't know Christ will go into the great tribulation period. And when the fourth horseman crests the sky, that seal is busted open, 1.85 billion people will die. Just in the first four seals. 1.85 billion people. But you see, we're afraid to offend people. We're afraid that they're not going to like us anymore. Listen, if they don't like you because you shared the gospel, then they weren't your friend anyways. If they're unwilling to hear the gospel, then they don't trust you anyways. They don't respect you anyways. I've told the story before. I've got to hustle. I've told the story before. I used to work at Mr. Donuts. I didn't say Dunkin' Donuts. If you're mature enough, you know Mr. Donuts. Well, I grew up in the New England area, and I used to work midnight to six shift at Mr. Donuts in Gardner, Massachusetts. Now, the baker was a Coke addict, and he would always do his lines on the flour table. Whatever's left over, he just mixed it all in. Every break, he was out smoking weed. Come in high, he made the best donuts. But there was a girl specifically that I worked behind the counter with. And man, she would tell me, now this is Saturday night, and right after I get out of work, I'd have to go to church. And so here I am, she's talking about Friday night, which she didn't work. She's talking about how she went out to a party, how exciting it was, how she got drunk. Man, she was just pounding the drinks down. And then she met this boy, and she went home, and she had sex with this boy. She didn't even know his name. She was very proud to tell me she didn't even really know his name. And she had sex with him. And man, it was the best time ever. So I let her tell the whole story. And then I said, you know, have you ever heard about Jesus? I said, you know, those sins that you're doing, there's guilt that goes with that, and there's wounds that go with that. You need Jesus to what? Don't you preach to me. And I said, then don't you ever preach to me. Because when they're preaching their gospel, they expect you to hear them. They just don't want to hear your gospel. We've got to be bold enough, because their life depends that we share with them. You've got to look around. You've got to look up. You've got to look out. And you've got to look forward. What do you mean looking forward? You've got to ask God to give you the moment to share the gospel with them. There's names on these papers right here. Craig, Mike, Larry, Joanne. Names that are on here, they're live people, they're living people, that without Christ they cannot go to heaven. And you wrote their names down. You are praying for them. You're interceding for them. You're binding the devil. But now you've got to ask God to give you a moment. You see, God is going to prepare them. He is. I just want to say it. Cassie, you don't mind me saying. Cassie was a server. Young lady over there. What? One more time, your name. I just lost it in the middle. Server, yeah. Judy. These two young ladies were servers. And guess what? They served our table. And every time we start sharing the gospel, well, they got to listen, or they're not going to get a good tip. But don't you share the gospel without giving an abundant tip. We'd share the gospel with them, and we'd share the gospel with them, and God would move on their lives. And Cassie, man, she came to church and gave her heart to Jesus. God's changed your life, hasn't he, honey? Yes? You're not sure? Stand up and shout, yes! Judy, she just started coming back last week. God's changed her life. I want you to know that it doesn't take a lot. It just takes that, come on now, looking for that right moment that God is going to give you to plant the seed. And the seed of God will always bring forth a phenomenal harvest. God has harvest for you. These names are your harvest. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. What is most exciting is realizing that the only thing you can take to heaven with you is somebody else. You got to look forward. See, when was the last time you cried for somebody that you love that doesn't know Jesus? See, this is getting down to the root of the problem back in the believers' lives. When was the last time that you were so moved that it brought tears to your heart, or your heart was broken for someone that you know that if they died today, they can't go to heaven? This cuts right to the cusp. Do we actually believe that if they don't receive Christ, they can't go to heaven? Do we actually believe that? And a lot of believers, statistically, that they just don't believe it anymore. They believe the Bible's a nice book of stories, and they believe religion is a good crux and a good crutch that you can use. They believe that Jesus, well, good, you know, thinking on him is nice stories and, you know, good thinking, you know, positive thinking. But I'm here to tell you, this has nothing to do with positive thinking. If you don't receive Jesus, you can't go to heaven. And if the church doesn't believe that anymore, then that's why we haven't been sharing the gospel. That's why we haven't been burdened for the lost. That's why we really don't care if somebody dies. Well, that's not my ministry. That's your first ministry besides Jesus. Every one of us have the same call. Every one of us, listen, I think I said it last week, I'm almost done, because my pants are starting to slip. Actually, I'm wearing a compression shirt. It's very hard preaching in a compression shirt, trying to hold everything in. I want to look like Melvin, hot, studly man. If we don't care anymore, if we don't believe anymore, then that's why we don't share anymore. Can I get bold enough to say this as I'm going to end within 30 seconds? If every one of us don't lead one person to Jesus Christ in an entire year, then we've got to ask ourselves, do we really honestly care? Oh, Pastor, I talk to my friends. Well, you know something? If you ask God, you'd be just like Andrew. You ask God to look forward. God will give you. He said, he doesn't say, pray for sinners to be saved. He said, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. The issue is not that people don't want to be saved. The issue is that people don't know how to be saved. Oh, but Pastor, we live in America. Man, I led a man to Jesus Christ one day. Man, his wife left him because she felt she was a lesbian. He was devastated. He came to my office. He had never given his heart to the Lord. And I looked at him and I said, you know, do you have a religious background? He said, I grew up in this denomination my whole life. I said, but did you ever hear that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life? And he said, no. Don't assume that people know how to be saved. There are backslidden people that God has placed in your life. They're watching you, number one, but they're hoping you're going to say something, number two. Do you realize that the majority of people that you ask to come to church with you, it might take a little bit, but they'll come. But if you never ask them, they never will. Easter is an amazing season. People get religious quick on Easter and Christmas. They might not ever come to another service during the whole year. But if you ask them to come to Christmas and Easter, you can actually guilt them into it.
Well, you know, I don't want to guilt them. Well, the Bible says some are saved by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Some people you got to scare the hell out of. Guilt, fear, who cares? But you're praying for them. And you don't know. You just assume in your head, in your flesh, well, even if I bring them, they're not going to get saved. How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that God hasn't been prepping them for the moment of Easter Sunday in 2017? You don't know. Today, I want to challenge you to be a person that is burdened for other people. A person that will look forward. And then a person who will look after. Don't just get them saved. Bring them to church every week. If you got to pick them up, pick them up. Throw them in the car. Throw them in the bus. Get them to rock solid faith. On Tuesday night so I can beat my wife. Oh, it's not it. That's not it. We're in a competition. She's beating me. No, it's not good. No, don't rejoice. Not a good rejoice. Not good. You don't know. But if you don't ask, if you don't ask God for you to look forward for that opportunity, you'll never get it. Because you won't be listening and watching for it. Today, we need to change our lives. Amen. The mission is not impossible. The mission is possible. And the greatest mission that we have, let's create a resounding shout of triumph in heaven. Let's get the angels partying for days. Let's get the angels so excited that all of heaven erupts. Why? Because God rejoices. Heaven rejoices when one person accepts Him as their Savior. Heaven rejoices when one person comes back to the Lord. You might be the prodigal son this morning, and God is saying, listen, I'm coming after you. Today, we've got to be people that look around, look up, look out, look forward, and then look after people. This mission is your mission. Who are the people in your life that He's setting you up with so you can take them with you to heaven? Sunday's coming in just a few weeks. They'll beckon the door if you start asking today. But you better pray first to bind that devil who blinds the mind of the unbeliever. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, I'm excited to let you know that He loves you. I'm excited to let you know that you might be on a list. In fact, last week a young man gave his heart to Jesus, and someone came up after and said, that person was on the top of my list. I didn't even know they were in service. You just don't know. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, someone's been praying for you, or you wouldn't be sitting in this room. I know that spirit's not on you. How do I know that? Because we take it off in prayer before we ever come into the room. Today, light has been shined in your heart to wisp away all the darkness of your sin so that you'll see that a life with Jesus is a good life. Not religion, but Jesus. Today, if you do not know Him as your personal Savior and you want to receive Him in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. We're going to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Thank you, young lady, right there. Thank you so much. You can put your hand right back down. We're very proud of you, young lady. Anybody else this morning want to receive Jesus as your Savior? In the back. Very good. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Anybody else this morning want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? Not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3. Listen, why do I count like that? That's that wick, baby, heading towards the dynamite. 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up. 2. And last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Father, we thank You for the blood that washes away every single stain. We thank You, God, that today those that are saved and washed by Your blood have been commissioned by You to do the mission that's possible, and that is to be Your hands extended, Your light to dispel darkness, to be that one with the gospel of Christ that will destroy the works of the devil so that somebody can be changed by the blood of Christ. We thank You for that, Jesus, that You have given us destiny and purpose to reel in, to bring in a harvest, to bring in the fishing nets of so many souls for the glory of God. Lord, we want to make heaven shout. Lord, thank you that heaven's already shouting because of four people raised their hand for salvation. We thank you, God, that today that's going to happen in this house. We thank you, Jesus, that it's going to happen on Easter Sunday. We thank you that it's going to happen on Good Friday. We thank you that it's going to happen every single week after that for the rest of this year. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for our purpose and destiny. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar right now. If you need prayer for anything, you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for deliverance, you need prayer for just someone just to encourage and strengthen you, the prayer team is here. They know how to pray. They know how to bring heaven to earth. And today, God's going to change your life. If you raise your hand for salvation, if you'll meet me right over here, grab the person next to you. Meet me right here in the front. I want to lead you to Christ. I want you to know him. If the names are on the altar, make sure you take them home with you and praying for them. But if you raise your hand for salvation, meet me right here in the front. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you're people of destiny and mission this week.